revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Welcome to Truth Revolution. I am Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
I'm glad to be back, Dave.
Good to have you back.
Yes, we just finished a Truth Revolution cracked acronym tour. Sponsored by the Brethren Christ Church.
How many times did you speak on that?
We had 8 locations.
Wow.
From L.A. through Pennsylvania.
Now, we were talking before the show. You said you put on 3,000 miles over the last 2 weeks?
Just this last little jaunt was like 3,300 miles. It was a long ways.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I had 5 kids in the vehicle with me. The Brethren Christ Church is who sponsored it, our denomination, and they wanted me to do these sections, and I said, I'll tell you what, I'll do this last one if you can squeeze them together, and I can take a van to take my whole family, so I'm mm-hmm. not gone for my kids for 2 weeks. That was an interesting idea.
I bet it was.
No, it was actually good to be with them.
But now you're begging to be gone for 2 weeks.
No, actually, I'm glad I did that. It was cool. We got out, did some fun things, took them mm-hmm. to, you know, we drove by Washington, D.C., so we stopped out there, and that was good to see some stuff like that. So, hey, this is where faith and reason meet, science and religion.
Right. You don't have to throw out your brain to actually enjoy your faith.
No. Archaeology and the Bible, these sorts of things.
Right.
And today, we're going over an article posted on a website called dogchurch.org.
Dogchurch.org.
Oh, yeah. The article's title is Problems with Christianity.
What's this blind chihuahua thing?
I don't know. That's like the name, his pseudonym or something, okay. Like the blind chihuahua from dogchurch.org. Okay. I don't really know what the blind chihuahua is, okay. But the problems with Christianity is his article. His name is Rich Daniel, and he has a couple page article here. We're just going to go through it like we do sometimes. Okay. Mm-hmm. We like to analyze atheist or agnostic arguments and say, hey, how difficult are these answers? Mm-hmm. How difficult are these to respond to?
Right.
And so we want to jump in there like that and just answer that. Plus, we got a couple listener questions really fast. We're going to hit one right off the bat.
Okay.
I got a question.
This is a listener question from a guy named Bill who wrote in response to our show last week.
All right. He says, that was a great show on slavery in the Bible, but I was expecting you to mention the most unique aspect of the biblical laws regarding slavery. It was against the law in Israel to return a runaway slave. According to Deuteronomy 23, the Jews were not only forbidden from returning runaway slaves, but they actually had a duty to welcome runaways into their communities. This would have ensured that all slavery was voluntary throughout the nation of Israel. Any slave who felt mistreated could simply run away and be granted immediate freedom.
Epic.
Wow.
Email from Bill.
Yeah.
Thanks, I gotta admit, I just blatantly forgot this part.
Uh-huh. What'd it be, Jeff?
Well, you know, the Bible's like a few thousand pages. Uh-huh. I can't know everything, but this is true. Deuteronomy 23 says, if a slave has taken refuge with you, do not hand them over to their master. Mm. Let them live among you wherever they like and in whatever town they choose. Do not oppress them.
Wow. That's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you might even say the biggest. Right. Slavery was voluntary. Mm-hmm. If the slave ran away, they were done. You let them go. That was it. Mm. And so it actually is a lot more like being on a sports team than it is being in our military, because you can't run away from our military.
Right, you can't.
You couldn't run away if you were an American slave. Mm. Go back and listen to our show about slavery if you haven't.
That's
you're
going
to see
week.
It's very different than what we think of as slavery, because God allowed for slavery in the Bible. But we also see here in the Bible, God says, but you know what? If the slave runs away, it's done.
Right.
In fact, if he comes to you for help, you have to help him.
There you go.
And you can't hand him over to their owner. You're going to let him live wherever they want, whatever town they choose. You're not allowed to oppress them. So that's a huge, huge difference. So I just want to say, although this wasn't a question, it was a comment, thank you so much for that intelligent comment.
I got a question.
Like it.
Yeah. And if you want to actually hear the actual entire show, head on over to truthrevolution.tv and you can find that.
I've been to that website before.
A couple times, huh?
A couple times I've been there. All right, it's good stuff. So
he's only emailing me every other day. Hey, change this. Hey, change that.
It's okay. Not every other day.
Jeff.
It's every day. No, it's good stuff. TruthRevolution.tv. And so let's get into this. Oh, by the way, we are, I'm from Revolution Church, and mm-hmm. Dave is from Revolution Church.
Right, yeah.
If you are in the Salina, Kansas area, you need to come over to Revolution Church, unless you already got a church of your own. That's right. Good.
Yeah, we don't want to be cherry picking from other churches.
But, you know, if you ain't been to church for a long time, or if you've never been to church, this is the place for you, man.
I guarantee you'll come at least a couple of times if you come once.
You got to check it. I ask people, like, hey, why don't you at least check it out 3 or 4 times? Because the first time you're like, well, I'm actually in a church and I haven't been in a church ever. Is right. Lightning going to strike me? And you leave and you're like, well, that was, I lived. Okay. And you don't really remember, you know, it was just,
right.
You're a little nervous or something. You don't have to be, but right. People just are. So yeah. First, just write the first one off, then come back again and really think about what's being said. And then come back, you know, just 2 or 3 more times and just say, hey, do I feel like I can fit in here? Now that I've been here more than once, I can mm-hmm. make a judgment as to whether or not this place is for me.
Right.
And so, I just say, hey, just try it out 3 or 4 times. It's not going to kill you to give up 3 or 4 hours.
There you go.
So, and it could make a difference in your whole spiritual life and your whole life altogether. So, all right. To our show for today, Problems with Christianity. Will you start reading the article and we'll respond to it as we need.
All right. The article starts out and says, here are a few reasons I think Christianity is false.
Okay.
Note that some of these apply only to rabid fundamentalist versions of Christianity, while others are more general.
Okay. So the rabid fundamentalist probably won't apply to us.
All right. Neurophysiology. Ooh. I can't believe I actually said that
word.
Yes,
yes. This is good. Okay.
Neurophysiology makes a strong case for non-existence of anything like an immaterial soul. If personality resides in the soul, then how can drugs and brain damage affect it?
Oh, we've done this before.
We've talked about that.
As a matter of fact, this is a really, really good question. We've done a truth shot on it before. Mm-hmm. There is no inconsistency between saying that the body is physical and that we are spiritual.
Right.
Christianity has never said we are spiritual beings, period.
Right. Right.
We've said we are spiritual and physical beings. When God created Adam, he didn't create some sort of ghost. He made a physical being with physical properties who has a soul. His soul affects his body affects his soul. Mm-hmm. They go back and forth. Yeah. So neurophysiology makes a strong case of the non-existence of anything like immaterial. How can drugs and brain damage affect it? Well, because your body affects everything about you.
Right. It's like we are one. You know, it's
right.
It's not like, you know, and everybody likes to, well, you know, I can't even explain
well,
it.
Well, here he says, if personality resides in the soul.
Right.
And we would say personality resides in the in the soul and the body.
Yeah, in the mix.
And you are expressing this through the body. So if something happens to your body, it doesn't mean that your soul is lost.
Mm-hmm.
He's simply asking this question. Like, you say there's a spiritual side, but you know what? Everything you say is spiritual is affected by the body. Well, then that's true, because we've never disconnected the body from the soul.
Now correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Now, in the end, when everything all comes to fruition and Jesus comes back and we're all living in eternity, our spirit and our body will become one. Just like we are now, but it'll be a perfect body, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
So it's not like our soul is going to be just hanging out, you know, I have no personality if it was in the body, or I'm like uber personality if it was in the soul. So
no, absolutely. As a matter of fact, Scripture says that one of our desires and one of our goals is to have a body like Jesus Christ,
right,
who rose from the dead. Okay, Philippians 3:21. Jesus will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
Amen.
Okay, that is the whole goal of Christianity, not to become a body-soul disunity,
right,
but to become a perfected body-soul unity.
Right. So all throughout, we don't want to separate the two.
That's exactly right.
All right.
All right, good.
All right. He goes on to say, what is it that makes people believe in God at all? It seems to me that gods were invented by men to explain things that they didn't understand.
Okay.
But we understand a lot more today through the course of the frontiers of science are always speculative.
Okay.
Given that it's impossible to have an explanation for everything, because that an explanation would demand another explanation, you know, the but why, mommy.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Why not just take the universe as we find it, rather than positing some incredibly complex cause for what we have evidence.
Okay. So let's look at his first question. What is it that makes people believe in God?
Well, you know, the Bible says that God has written his laws on our hearts, and that we have been given general revelation around us. So the things we look at and the things we see, like the nighttime sky, or maybe the veins in a leaf or something like that
yeah.
can show that God exists.
Right. Well, and you're quoting basically Ecclesiastes 3:11, which says, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart.
Amen.
Okay, so that concept of eternity, the concept of the supernatural is set within us. Mm-hmm. But why do we believe in God at all? Like you said, the teleological argument. Okay, the cosmological argument, the reasons for it. But then he says, it seems to me that gods were invented by men to explain things they didn't understand. And we would agree with that.
Right.
I mean, that's absolutely true. People didn't understand certain things about the sun or the stars. They invented sun and star gods. Mm-hmm. They invented weather gods. People didn't understand why sometimes women would be pregnant and why sometimes they were infertile. And so they invented fertility gods.
Right.
We've moved beyond a lot of that. But this does not mean that there is no God. The fact that people used to make up false gods doesn't mean there isn't a God.
Well, and here's the thing is that all that stuff falls away, you know, but the evidence for Jesus being God has stood strong.
Yeah.
You know, for 2,000 years.
Absolutely. You know, my kids have fake meals all the time.
Uh-huh.
They make fake food. That doesn't mean there is no real food.
Right.
I mean, just the fact that people make fake gods doesn't mean there is no real God. But that's kind of the assumption he's drawing.
Right.
All right, let's check this next story out.
All right, science has shown the stories of creation and the flood to be false. I'm aware that many Christians have no problem accepting evolution, but for me, it demolishes the most important argument to the existence of God.
Okay,
it's kind of like throwing a couple of them in there.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so science has shown the stories of creation, the flood to be false. No, I'm sorry, that's just not true. Science has not shown those things to be false. And I respect where he's at. Like, he's trying to come at it from a scientific point, but we had Dr. Hugh Ross on a while ago, and he talked about the scientific evidence for a flood, and there is no scientific evidence for a entire global flood at the time of Noah, but that doesn't mean there wasn't a flood that killed all humanity.
Right, because we're talking about, you know, it covered, you know, all the earth, which basically included only the parts that were really inhabited at the time.
The inhabited parts of the earth.
Yeah.
And so a local flood on that measure that would last for less than a year is not going to be in the geological record 10,000 years later or however long ago Noah lived.
It's just like the question, how the kangaroo get back to... Australia.
The kangaroos weren't on the ark. That's how the kangaroos got to Australia after the flood, right? They weren't on the ark because it was... Well, you're going to have to listen to our past show about
that.
And there are truth shots about it. And we're going to get some people emailing us about that. But the Bible doesn't demand a worldwide flood. So he says science proves false the idea of a worldwide flood. That's not true. It didn't prove it false. There's no geological evidence for it, but there wouldn't be for a flood that long ago.
Right.
And that limited. There have been worldwide floods, and those were not at the time of Noah that science has found. So I don't even know if he's aware of the worldwide floods that existed pre-humans, whatever. So, okay. Now, here's some good news. He talked there about evolution. I'm going to skip that one.
Okay.
Because we got some good news. Next week, Dr. Fuzz Rana from Reasons to Believe is going to be on the show with us.
Right on.
And so he'll be joining us.
I like Dr. Rana.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he turns on the drill. He gets in my brain every single time. Like, he makes us think. He posted something about molecular anthropology and the case for Adam and Eve.
What?
I think he's a biochemist.
Yeah, he is.
From reasons.org. Yeah. And he knows molecular anthropology, the study of the cells and what it tells us about human history. And he's going to make a case for Adam and Eve from molecular anthropology.
Interesting show next week.
Exactly. And so this critic has said that evolution proves concept of the Bible false, but that's Ron is going to debate that.
Right.
So.
Okay, good.
Okay, so wow, we're already at the halfway point. This is great stuff. You got to get over to truthrevolution.tv and you got to get to Revolution Church. You got your choice, 9 o'clock or 11 o'clock every Sunday morning.
There you go.
And you can get over to truthrevolution.tv. You got your choice of hundreds of shows and truth shots.
Yeah, there's a ton of information on there, so go wild.
That's right. Now, we're going to be putting out a book on Cracked.
Yep.
How to interpret the Bible, how to resolve Bible contradictions.
And it's a good thing, man.
If you're interested in that, contact us. Go to the website, truthrevolution.tv, and click on Ask Questions or Got Questions.
There you go.
And just let us know. Plus, if you got a question, we'd love, love, love to hear it.
Right.
If you got a challenge, we'd love, 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 love to hear it.
Yeah, because ultimately, we want to know whether we're wrong or not.
Yeah, that's right. And we want to enter discussions with you, just like we have today with Rich Daniel from dogchurch.org. Very interesting article. We're going to continue to answer these questions on the other side of the break, talking about demon possession.
Hey, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church.
And I'm Dave. You know God cares more about what's on the inside of a person than the outside.
That's right. Join us Sunday morning at 9 or 11 a.m. Check out SalinaRevolution.com.
What if someone had never been to church before?
Most people here hadn't been for a long time, if ever, so you'll fit in fine.
What to wear? Just be yourself. Jeans, t-shirt, tats, whatever.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning, 9 or 11 a.m.
SalinaRevolution.com or check us out on Facebook.
SalinaRevolution.com.
Revolution!
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina, but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com, that's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com, K-F-A-P-A.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Why does God allow bad things to happen? Here's one reason.
Jesus allowed his friend Lazarus to die.
He could have stopped it. He could have healed, but he didn't.
In fact, when Jesus or Lazarus was sick, he purposely didn't go help until Lazarus was dead.
The point was so that Jesus could raise Lazarus from the dead and demonstrate his own power.
That way, he could very clearly teach that he is the Lord of life and death.
Make no mistake. The point of allowing this tragedy was to teach people about Jesus so they'd believe in him.
God was more concerned that they knew who Jesus was than whether or not Lazarus died.
It seems awful to allow such a tragedy just to make a point, but the intention of God was of eternal value.
We will spend eternity in heaven or hell. God knows there is no pain too great if it will help set us in the right direction for eternity.
100 years of misery would be a small price to pay for 100 trillion years of bliss.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
Hey, we're talking about stuff that, you know, stuff that refutes the Bible or whatever.
We're talking about stuff.
Right on.
Not like last week when we talked about nothing. We're doing the article Problems with Christianity by Rich Daniel. And one of the reasons we do these where we respond to atheist or agnostic articles, because we do one at least a few times a year. Mm. Sometimes we do them as much as once a month. We want to show people that there are answers to the difficult questions.
Right. Here's the thing. Is that a lot of Christians out there don't really equip themselves rightly. You know, they don't study the word rightly, and they don't lead themselves into a place where they can actually answer these questions. So they get where they're blowing in the wind, being tossed in the waves, and something comes along like this article and says, oh, Christianity is wrong. It's false. And then it's like,
here's all these reasons.
He brings up all these good points. Yeah. Well, we want to equip people so that they can answer stuff like that.
That is right. We want to show you that Christianity is where faith and reason meet.
Amen.
And so when people ask these questions, there are good answers. Let's do the next question. It's about demon possession.
All right. The next question is, why was demon possession so common in Jesus' time, but hardly mentioned at all in the Old Testament and apparently non-existent today?
Okay.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It says modern medicine seems to have transformed demons into things like epilepsy or schizophrenia.
Okay, good question. Mm-hmm. I think the answer to why demon possession was so common in Jesus' time is because you were bringing the entire world to a spiritual climax point right there. I mean, think about this. God in flesh. Let's just I mean, he's coming at this from a critical point of view, but let's just assume that Christianity is right for a moment, that Jesus really was God who came to earth, took on human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this pretty much going to be like...
That's frontline stuff right there.
Yeah, I mean, this is like D-Day for spirituality, right? So you're going to have all the demonic functions going on. You're going to have all the spiritual stuff going on. You're going to have prophets. You're going to have godly people. You're going to have angry people. I mean, this is all coming to a head right there in the life of Jesus. I think it's a perfect answer.
Yeah.
He says modern medicine, though, seems to transform demons into things like epilepsy and schizophrenia. And that's not, I wouldn't say that. That's not accurate.
Right.
Demons are anti-Jesus. They have a spiritual component to them. There are some things that are sickness. You look in the Bible and some people were sick.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Pharisees, the bad guys in the Bible who thought they were religious.
Right.
Would say, oh, this person's evil and they're, you know, poor and stupid and God hates them because they're blind. And Jesus would say, no, that's not the case, man. They were sick because God was going to do something with it.
So you're telling me that Jesus actually refuted what this guy just said 2,000 years later.
Yeah, exactly. Not all sicknesses are a cause problem because of demons.
Awesome.
But some demon possession is legitimate. So, all right, let's go to the next one.
All right. There is no justification for eternal torture in hell. Unremitting revenge debases those who practice it. He says, I have no problem with God snuffing people out of existence, but hell is described in the Bible as sadism.
Okay, well, there are Christians who would say God snuffs people out of existence. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be those people.
Right.
But I want to make it clear, okay, eternal torture in hell, this isn't like God says, man, I so dislike Johnny that even though he's begging me for mercy, I'm going to torture him.
Right.
That's not what God does. No, people go to hell ultimately because they want to.
Right.
Because they choose that instead of God's presence.
Right. If you don't want to be in God's presence here on earth, I mean, what's going to happen when you get up in heaven and you're like, it's like concentrate.
Right. You know, imagine the 19-year-old who is screaming and yelling at his parents, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I don't want to live with you, I don't want to live with you, I don't want to live with you, I hate it being here, I hate being here. And so they finally kick him out of the house. Mm-hmm. Then he goes, why would you do that to me?
Right, exactly.
Well, there's really only two options, dude. You either live with your parents or you don't.
Right.
And there's only two options. You either are in the presence of God or you're not. And if you don't want to be in the presence of God for all eternity, the only other option is hell. I mean, that's the only other option. And it's not as though God's like, well, you know, you should be happy without me. That's not how it works. That's not how the universe was designed. You cannot be happy and satisfied without the creator of your soul.
Right. And the thing is, we've lost all idea, really, of how the universe was supposed to run.
Yeah.
You know, and the only way we can find out is in the Bible.
That's right.
So, all right. How can people be happy in heaven with loved ones in hell? Some say that God will take away their memories, but there are at least three problems with this. One, it would be a huge violation of our rights. Two, by doing so, God would tacitly admit that hell is wrong. And three, in the story of the rich man and Lazarus, everyone's memories were intact.
Okay, number three, he makes the point, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone's memories were intact. I think people's memories will be intact in heaven.
Yes.
And how can they be happy in heaven with loved ones in hell? Their loved ones made that choice, and they're going to respect that choice. And they are so enamored with the presence of God.
Amen.
And you might say that sounds bad, but I'll tell you one thing. I have relatives who have died, who have suffered. I even know people right now who are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't stop my ability to enjoy something right now either.
That's a good point.
I can still eat a really good dessert, even though my wife is homesick.
Right. Amen.
It's the same idea, just on a grander scale.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Next one. Christianity asserts that more than 50% of people in the world will go to hell.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting number.
Yeah, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to salvation, and few are there that find it. This belief is morally repugnant, he says. Surely an all-powerful God would have set up something different. What's up, Jeff?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Do tell.
Jesus does say that the gate is narrow. There's really no refuting that. Matthew 7, Jesus is talking... I just pulled it open. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. He calls us repugnant, but I might say small is the gate that leads to Olympic gold medals. Yeah. But wide is the road that leads to non-medals.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't find that repugnant. Why? Because to get a gold medal, you work hard and you pursue it. And right. You know what? I'm lazy. I'm not going to get a gold medal.
Right.
Period. Point blank.
I can vouch for that.
I don't want a gold medal because it takes too much work.
Amen.
That's right. You know, and so the people who go to hell have, it's not as though they just happened to find themselves there right. One day, and that's repugnant that God would send most people. Mm-hmm. That was their choice, man.
Yeah.
And the people who've chosen to follow God, chosen to take the hard way,
right. Are
the ones that end up in heaven.
Speaking of gold medals, I think you and I are sitting on the same couch there, Jeff.
Oh, okay. Thank you. You know what? Here's a place that we do excel. Let's do a Bible contradiction.
All right.
Bible contradiction.
All right, Bible contradiction today brought to you by the fine folks over at Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Okay.
How many stalls did Solomon have?
Yeah.
1 Kings 4:26 is directly at odds with 2 Chronicles 9:25. Okay. 1 Kings says, and Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. 2 Chronicles says, and Solomon had 4,000 stalls for horses and chariots and 12,000 horsemen. What is it, 40 or 4?
Well, if you have gone to our cracked seminar that we just did, you would know the answer to this.
Okay.
It's awesome. Okay, using our cracked acronym, which we're going to put out some materials about, a book or so, maybe some small group study guides. If you look at the E, the letter E stands for early meaning in manuscripts, you'll find out that this is a genuine contradiction.
Really?
In our Bibles, but not in the original.
Okay.
And the original is important. See, we want to get back to the earliest manuscripts because what we have today are copies.
Right.
But the earlier manuscripts, we get back to what's more genuine, more real, what was originally written. Okay, if someone printed a Bible, Zondervan prints lots of Bibles.
Right.
If they had some printing error and they accidentally included something from this atheist article we're reading.
Oh, no.
We wouldn't be like, oh, the Bible's ruined.
Right.
We'd say Zondervan had an error.
Yeah, messed up.
Right. Likewise, there were some copyists who made an error. And in 1 Kings 4, where it says there were 40,000 stalls, that's an error.
Okay.
If you go back to the earliest manuscripts and you compare it to reality, you know it has there were 4,000 stalls, which lines up with 2 Chronicles 9.
Yeah. And one thing I will say that in the NIV, it actually does have a little asterisk there. It says,
right.
You know, this is actually 4,000. So
yeah, and actually
we get it right again eventually.
Right. If you have a good interpretation, there will be like a footnote that says, "Hey, there was different numbers here, and you gotta read it the right way, stuff like that." So the earliest meaning, the earliest manuscripts is what you have to get back to. That's why you gotta have a good Bible contradiction. This is why I really don't recommend the King James.
Right.
Not only is it hard to understand, it doesn't use the oldest manuscripts.
Aha.
So there are a number of errors in the King James Version. This is one of them. And so you got to get back. That's the E in our cracked acronym, early manuscripts.
Bible contradiction.
I said that was a legitimate contradiction. I was kind of scared for a second.
Don't be scared.
I'm not.
All right. Back to our article, Problems with Christianity.
All right. He says, in the Old Testament, God ordered the genocide of the Canaanites, including infants. In some cases, he allowed them to keep the young virgin women alive, in Numbers 31.
Okay.
How can this be reconciled with the idea of a just and merciful God?
Yeah, Numbers...
Jeff?
Numbers 31, let's read the context. Moses, Eleazar, the priest, and all the leaders of the community went to meet them outside the camp. Moses was angry with the officers of the army, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, who returned from the battle. "Have you allowed all the women to live?" he asked them. "They were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and enticed the Israelites to be unfaithful to the Lord in the Peor incident, so that the plague struck the Lord's people. Now kill all the boys and kill every woman who has slept with a man, but save yourselves every girl who has never slept with a man." And he goes on here. Now, we're going to answer this. Why would God allow this?
Okay.
It's a good question. What we're going to do, though, is we're going to answer it online only.
A little overtime.
We're going to go overtime. We're going to answer a number of these other questions this guy brings up. Good questions we want to answer. So go to truthrevolution.tv.
Do it now.
Right now. And listen to this show online only. If you're listening to the podcast, you already got it. You should just be able to continue to listen 5 seconds after this music's over. and you're going to get it there. TruthRevolution.tv, and of course, Revolution Church. We would love to have you be our guest.
9 and 11 on Sunday mornings.
Exactly right. We'd love to have you be our guest, no matter what you look like, no matter if you've been to church before. Most of the people here have been in the same situation. Never Amen. Been to church before, been a long time, but they are loving it. Come on out and join us.
Revolution.
And we're online.
Online. Living large.
Overtime.
That's right. We got so much content, it spilled onto the internet.
Right.
Out of the airwaves. Yeah. The radio barfed and it ended up online.
Nice.
Actually, there's a lot of barf online, to be real
there
honest.
There is a lot of barf online. That's a nice way of putting it, though.
I just compared our show to vomit.
No, you didn't compare our show to vomit, really. You just said there's a lot of barf online.
I don't know. If you look at our first C for context, I might have. Anyway, the question is, why would God order the genocide of the Canaanites and allow them to keep the women alive? I'm kind of interested in whether or not he's wondering why they kept the women alive or whether or not why God ordered the genocide.
Right. You can't have one or the other.
I mean, which one is it?
You know.
But he does say, how can this be reconciled with the idea of a just and merciful God?
Right.
This is a very good question, and it's one that people have wrestled with for a long time. It's one that people are still wrestling with. So, right. we may not give you a completely satisfactory answer, but I should say this: a lot of times, atheists will come out and they'll ask this question. We're going to try to give a little bit of an answer, but they ask this question, and I want to ask them a question first.
Okay,
are you agreeing that there is a God?
Oh,
because
right?
If there is no God, then this question doesn't matter.
Right.
But if there is a God, then we want to know, why would God allow that?
Right.
So this question cannot turn us to God or away from God,
right.
Because you can't even answer this question without agreeing that God exists in the first place.
And one of the things that I would point out is that, you know, we have finite minds and we do not know God's plan. So if mm-hmm. there is a God, God does have a plan for each and every one of us. And we have no idea how that's going to live out through the course of our life or through the course of history.
Yeah.
And God's mind is in control of all that stuff. Who are we to say what he does with us?
Well, absolutely. And this gets us to one of the things. We don't know the future. We don't have infinite minds.
Right.
A lot of times atheists will say, why would God have allowed someone like Hitler to live? Why wouldn't have God have killed him in his infancy?
And who knows what had happened if that had happened, you know?
Well, I mean, right.
It could have been even worse.
It could have been worse, but let's bring it here to Numbers 31. Who's to say that God did not kill in the nation of Canaan hundreds of That's Hitlers true, who'd yeah. be way worse than Hitler
That's a
was?
Good point.
Who's to say that by taking out this nation, God didn't prevent the type of earth that Hitler wanted to own?
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Because Canaan was a despicable, disgusting nation. Them and their children participated in things like child sacrifice. They enticed Israel, the followers of God, to worship false gods. Mm-hmm. The nation was capitulating to evil on a regular basis and encouraging others to do the same. This was the definition of evil.
Right.
And God asked them to extinguish this nation. And there's a concession. Innocent girls, let them live.
Right.
But
not,
other than
yeah, they're not so, so innocent.
It's a concession. God is right. being merciful. Right? Amen. These innocent girls, let them live. But all these other people, you cannot do this. And you know, they kill the boys. We can go back to the culture. Why would they kill the boys? Boys of that culture and time, they grew up, they were Canaanites, they would grow up and say, I need to take on the mantle of my fathers, and I would need to fight for my father who was killed. I need to avenge that right. and live the way my fathers lived, that sort of thing. And so that's just the way it was back then. God extinguishes this nation. Who could have done some evil, evil things beyond what we could even imagine.
Right.
So you can't both ask, why would God kill this nation? And why wouldn't God kill someone like Hitler? You can't do right. that.
They go hand in hand.
That's right.
All right. Next question would be, the Bible does not plainly and unambiguously tell us the single most important thing we supposedly have to know.
What?
How to be saved.
What?
As evidence, I submit that many Christian sects, which disagree heatedly on this point, in one place it says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In another, it says, faith without works is dead. A few sects believe that if you're not baptized, you go to hell. Well, you know, I mean, that's kind of a crazy jumble there because you know, it depends. If you never get baptized, what is the condition of your heart?
Yeah. Well, he says the Bible never makes it clear. Let me read Romans 10.
Do it.
9. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
That's pretty cut and dry to me.
I'm not sure how much clearer the Bible could put it.
Right.
You will be saved if you do those things. I'm going to wrap this to bring the point home. I said, no, just kidding. I'm not going to do that.
Thank you. But I was scared for a second.
But the point is, look, if you say Jesus is Lord, in other words, you're willing to make this positive confession, and you believe in your heart, and believing in your heart, we take that to be an emotional thing or something you have inside of you.
Right.
But back then, it was your intellect. It was your will. It was your decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so your heart encompassed everything from what you believed to how you lived.
Right.
And so when he says, well, one place it says you have to believe, but in the book of James it says you have to live that way. Well, yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Romans 10:9 right there. It just tells you that's how you're saved, by believing and living that way. Right. Both. I mean, the Bible makes it absolutely abundantly clear. It's not quiet on this point at all. You must believe that Jesus rose from the dead. You must believe Jesus was from God. And you must follow Jesus.
Amen.
Period. Yeah,
Jesus makes it clear.
Absolutely. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? In Luke 6.
Scary.
I mean, you got to obey Jesus.
Right.
And you have to believe in Jesus. In fact, our faith tradition, we think there's been a number of faith traditions that have made too much a big deal out of what you believe. And we come from like an Anabaptist background, and they rejected a lot of the reformers like Martin Luther, who made a big deal of what you believe, but didn't always get it into the hands and the feet. He didn't live that way always.
Right.
They would say, you have to sign this doctrine of confession. But after that, they just left it up to people to act however they were going
to
act.
Right. And to be totally honest with you, man, if what you believe, you know, what's in your heart, you're going to do. You know, and if you're not acting in a certain way, what's in your heart?
Right. And the reality is, I don't care what someone says. I care what they do.
Right.
And God's the same way. He wants you to believe. He wants you to confess that. But just saying it out loud doesn't mean you actually believe
it.
And so we're less concerned about doctrinal statements, and we're more concerned with life statements.
Right. What is your motivation?
That's what we would say.
All right. The next one goes on to say that the plan of redemption makes no sense. There are several theories as to why Christ had to die, and all of them are unintelligible.
Makes no sense?
What? Unintelligible?
Well, Dave, you just...
I'm quitting church, man.
You're quitting church. No, it's a good question. Perhaps no one has explained it to him very well. You just took a class talking about the different natures of atonement.
Right.
And we have done an entire show called The Nature of Atonement that was September 15th, 2013. I just looked it up on our website.
Nice.
So maybe I should just play it. I'm just going to play the show for us.
Nice.
No, I'm just kidding.
You're going to hear an entire show.
Yeah, that's right.
On overtime in our show.
This book, if you are interested in reading up more. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. Okay, but.
I couldn't handle two of you at once.
I wonder if listeners will be able to know which was the recording and which is me.
I think they would.
Recursive problem. Okay, so the reality, you took this class on the nature of atonement.
Right.
And there's at least two that I really like.
Right. Well, the thing is that, you know, what it all gets down to, man, is that we are separated from God because of sin.
Yes.
You know, and God gives us free will.
Mm.
And that is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously not to him because he's got it all under control.
Right.
But, you know, the thing is that we needed Christ to be our victor over sin and death and to be able to bring us into victory.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's this Christus Victor view, which says Jesus was there to conquer sin and death, to conquer Satan.
Right.
There's other views that say Jesus is there, and this is the most popular one nowadays, Jesus is there to redeem us from our sins. It's called the penal substitution view, right?
Right?
He paid the penalty that we needed to pay but couldn't pay.
Right.
So there's other views as well, but I encourage people to go check out that show. Just type in The Nature of Atonement on our website, and you'll find the information.
Right. There's I'll go to truthrevolution.tv and do that.
But, yeah.
So those are my two favorites too. So, you know, penal substitution really speaks to me because of my past, you know, but Christus Victor is really hard to ignore because it's just about a conquering Christ.
Yeah. You like penal substitution. I like Christus Victor. Mm-hmm. I think that one's most intriguing to me. So.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Where were we at?
The stories
of resurrection are not consistent.
That's his little comment.
That is.
But that's not
all right.
Accurate.
Well, we've actually talked about this, the stories of the resurrection, because in Bible contradictions before, you know, well, how many women were there and such like that.
And you can resolve those.
Right.
You can resolve them. So I'm not sure. He would have to be more specific for us to answer that.
All right. It is unfair that some people, Thomas, for example, should get convincingly physical proof of miracles while the rest of us are supposed to believe on hearsay.
Oh, man. I will agree. I want to see the hands and feet of Jesus like Thomas did. But that's not going to happen.
Right.
That's not going to happen. And it's not unfair. It's just reality.
It's the way things go sometimes.
Okay, you can't say, oh, it's not fair that I didn't get everything someone else got. I tell this to my kids every day. Well, they got 4 chicken nuggets. I only got 3.5 chicken nuggets. And, you know, that's just the way life is, man.
Right.
I had more chicken nuggets than you. You're going to have to deal with it.
Right.
And maybe I'm sounding callous, but look, Thomas saw the hands and feet of Jesus after he's crucified. He saw the risen Lord.
Right.
I may never get that opportunity.
Right, but there's also this. Jesus said, you believe because you have seen, but blessed are those who believe and have not seen.
Absolutely.
You know, that means we're going to get extra blessing than Thomas did because Thomas had the physical proof right there.
That's right. I'm pulling it open right now. John 20. 28. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. And then Jesus told him, blessed, or because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Another word, and that word blessed literally means happy.
Right.
He says, you're going to be those people who have not seen me but still believe. They are going to be happy. We can find this joy. There's this sense that we're even more blessed than Thomas because we don't need to see it.
Right.
We have the truth that is guided by evidence and gives us internal confirmation, and God's going to bless us for following faith in the next life. Amen. Even though we didn't see the evidence with our own eyes.
Amen. Wow. All right. Next one is, why did God design the world so that some animals have to eat meat? Why did he create parasites? Why do the innocent animals suffer? I want to know. Yeah,
look,
Jeff.
I don't
Next time you eat that steak.
Here's one of the things that makes me mad about these types of articles.
Uh-huh.
People stumble along these, and they'll read these questions and go, "Whoa, maybe I should question my Christianity." Right. But when you put it into logical form, it sounds absolutely ridiculous. All right. Why did God create a world where some animals have to eat meat? Let's think about this logically. Some animals have to eat meat. God created it that way. Therefore, God does not exist. That makes no sense.
We can call that a fallible argument.
Yeah, that's an awful argument. So to answer the question, why did God have to make animals that eat meat?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Hey, here's one. Population control, maybe?
Population control could be a huge one. And maybe we can ask Fuzz about that next week.
Right.
But this is one of those things that we need to ask the scientist about. And not
think about how many cows would be roaming the earth right now if we didn't eat meat. Come on.
It's true.
Come on.
It is true. But that's weird. And why did he create parasites?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we got to go. There's a lot of good reasons for parasites to exist. In fact, if parasites didn't exist, and again, this is a question to go back to the scientists with, but if parasites didn't exist, if bacteria didn't exist, if things like this didn't exist, the world couldn't even exist with life as we know it.
Right. It's part of the cycle.
That's right. And the world entered a curse cycle when God cursed it and we sinned. Therefore, these things turn, cause really, really undesirable results instead of just desirable results.
Right. All right. Next one is, why did God create so many species only to allow the most of them to become extinct before man even existed?
I know. I want to see a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Right. I know you do.
I was at the Smithsonian last week with my kids when we were traveling, and they were like, Tyrannosaurus Rex in here. And we were like, kids, we're going to see a T-Rex. We went inside. And it was like part of the head of a T-Rex.
Aww.
And like there was a guy there working on the rest of it. We're like, for real? Is that all?
It's not Jurassic Park, man.
Yeah. My 3-year-old was like, oh, okay. He walked over to a different dinosaur and was like, this one's T-Rex. I'm like, just go with it. All right. Yes.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was funny.
All right.
But we didn't answer the question.
Right.
And the answer is, we don't know. There's a lot of reasons many animals might have existed before humans. Why God did that? Again, this is a scientific question, not a religious question. Right. But we could give some possibilities. God allowed animals and parasites and great big animals, little tiny ones, to exist prior to humans to create the type of world that would make it hospitable for humanity.
Cultivation, man.
And this takes a long time, in the order of millions of years. It doesn't just happen in 10 seconds.
So that's what we do. We go to Mars, we set down a T-Rex, and let him go, right?
That's right. Before you colonize a planet, you need lots of T-Rexes.
All right. Matthew 16, 27 and 28 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall receive every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And he says, Jesus thought the end of the world was coming within one generation.
Snap!
How many times have we discussed this?
Discussed this before, right? Jesus does say, with this generation, or not everybody here is going to taste death till this happens. Jesus wasn't talking about the end of the world.
Right.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
If he was, he was wrong, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. It sure looks like, because that's what he's saying. Now, you get guys who promote the most popular view of the end times. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, in Matthew 24, when Jesus says this generation, we think he meant people who are alive in 1948.
Or 67.
Yeah. Like, no, that's not what he...
Right.
He did not... When Jesus was alive and said, people in this generation will see me come, he did not mean 1948 when he said this generation. He's talking to people in that generation. Mm-hmm. Every time the Bible says this generation, it's talking about the people who are alive right then.
Yeah, why would it be different then?
That one time.
Right.
And there's multiple other words he could have used if he meant other people. The answer is that he was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem.
Right.
He's talking about coming in judgment, and that happened in AD 70. Jesus was not a false prophet. He was a perfect prophet, as proved by the year AD 70 and around there when the Caesars and other people tore down Jerusalem. They sacrificed pigs on the altar. They did all kinds of stuff. Jesus allowed this destruction of the temple.
Right. And not one stone, as Jesus predicted, not one stone would be standing on top of another.
That's right. And of course, he was using colloquial language. I mean, if we found one stone that was on another stone, that doesn't mean he's false. He was just saying, this thing's getting knocked over, buddy. It's over. It is over.
Yeah, you won't recognize that as a temple, really.
That's right.
Okay. All right. There is no good reason to believe that the canonical books of the Bible will, while rejecting the Apocrypha. There's no good reason to believe the canonical books of the Bible while rejecting the Apocrypha. Boy, put the emphasis on the wrong syllable there. The canon was only gradually agreed upon and finally formalized by a vote.
Oh, jeez.
Wait a minute. Didn't we talk about this like 2 weeks ago? Yeah. Early church fathers quoted extensively from Apocrypha.
Okay. I'm pulling up the website, Dave.
Okay. You got to do it.
If you guys go to our website, truthrevolution.tv, and you look for our June 15th show.
Mm-hmm.
It's called How Was the Bible Put Together? Answers this question in its entirety. Next question.
Next question. That's it. All right. Most people believe the religion of their parents. If one and only one religion is true, why did God not make it oblivious? Obvious to all nations alike.
Well,
some are oblivious.
Some people are oblivious. God did make it obvious.
Yeah.
You were going to say.
General revelation.
Yeah, general revelation is available to everybody. Everybody knows there's a God and there's one God. It's available to all who want to know the truth. And to anyone who says, God, I want to know the truth, I want to find you, God will reveal himself, period.
Right, amen.
It's available to everybody. The people who don't want to know the truth aren't the ones who find it. Most people believe the religion of their parents. That's true. And if I was born in India, perhaps I would be a Hindu.
Right.
But that doesn't mean there isn't one God.
Right. Amen.
Again, you're asking the wrong question. You're acting like if this question can be asked, there must be no God. But that doesn't make sense. Just because some people believe in a false God means there's no God?
Yeah, that's
crazy. No, that makes no sense. That's not a logical statement. It's illogical to say that. So you have to say there is a God or there isn't a God. And if there is a God, then we have to agree some people don't believe in him.
Right. Amen.
And that's all there is to it. Right. Now we can get, maybe the topic for a later show is how can God do this and still be just?
Okay.
But this doesn't disprove the existence of God.
All right. He wants to know also, even if there is a creator of the universe, why does he want to be worshipped? God is an egomaniac?
Well, no. Worshipping God is, first of all, what we were designed for.
Right.
Okay, so it's not like he's looking at us going, please, I want your approval. I want you to like me. Be paparazzi for me. I mean,
right.
This is how what we were designed for. But why does he want to be worshipped?
Well, you know what? He created the entire universe. Why wouldn't he be worshipped?
Well,
you know?
It's right for God to be worshipped. Right.
It is, because
He is God.
Yeah. He's like the ultimate being. There is nothing that we have that we would have without him.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, listen, the biggest sin is idolatry. Okay? And again, if he's coming from a critical perspective, he's like, well, I just don't like the idea of God. And so I'm just going to say, why would God want to be worshipped? Blah, that's stupid. But if you come to it from the perspective of someone who believes in the existence of God, God is the supreme being.
Right.
Worshipping anything other than God is idolatry. It is wrong to put anything in front of God because of his nature. He is the creator. He is the sustainer. If we don't have God, everything falls apart. If God lets go for a microsecond, we cease to exist.
Right.
He sustains our existence.
Wow.
And so to not recognize that, which is worship, to not recognize that is wrong.
Right.
It's wrong. It'd be the same as when I say to my kids, tell your mother thank you for this food that she just made you. If my kids were to say, well, she's awfully egomaniac.
Right.
Why would she want me to thank her for this food she made?
Right.
No, it's not because she's an egomaniac.
Because it's right.
Mm-hmm. Likewise, we worship God not because he's an egomaniac, but because it's right. Because he sustains every cell of your being. If he lets go, you're done, man. Right.
And here's the thing. Jesus himself said, if we keep quiet, even the rocks will cry out.
Right.
Nature and everything in it was made to glorify God, period.
Right, right. And, you know, it remind the word worthy also comes to mind, right? First Chronicles 16:25, great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. Right, it's not even that he needs to be, but he is worthy of it. Right, Revelation 5:12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Right.
It's like you look at a Rembrandt or a painting by Picasso or Michelangelo's David.
Right,
and those things are worthy of admiration. You look at them and say those are beautiful because they are. They're intrinsically valuable.
Right.
And we look at God and we say he is worthy. He is intrinsically valuable.
Amen.
There is more worth in the person of God than there is in all art put together. And so that's another reason we worship him.
Right.
Because he is worthy of it.
Amen. All right. If God wanted us to have free will, why does he threaten us with hell? It isn't free will if you've got a gun to your head. Wow.
Well, It is free will because you simply get to choose whether you want to be with God or away from God. We kind of covered this on a previous question.
But this isn't a threat. This isn't a threat. This is a destination that you would choose.
Right. That's a good point. It's not a gun to your head. It's a warning.
Right.
It's a warning saying, look, this is the only other alternative. If you refuse to live in your parents' house, you're going to have to live somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be pleasant. And this is what God's saying. Look, it's not pleasant out there. Come to me.
Right.
Yeah, so it's a warning. It's a serious warning.
Yeah. All right, Romans 9:15-23 says that God deliberately caused sinners to sin. For instance, he hardened Pharaoh's heart. What's up with that, man? Well, Jeff?
Okay, you look at Pharaoh's heart, and you find out that Pharaoh hardened himself and refused to believe in God and refused to accept God before God hardened his heart. And we talk about this in the revealed of our cracked acronym.
Right.
And so you can go listen to our show on Cracked and listen to the revealed part. The reality is, if you reject God, he's not going to reveal himself to you more.
Right.
And if you continue to reject him, he's going to reject you even more. And if eventually he may just harden your heart and just use you as a blunt force object.
Right. Yeah, because that's where it's going anyway.
That's right.
You know?
I mean, it's really clear too. I'm going to read scripture and take from this what you want. Remember, God is in charge. That's a big point that we can't forget. Just like a judge is in charge of anyone who breaks the law, God is in charge of every single human being. And he says, this is an Old Testament quote. Actually, I just read it last night in my devotions. It's from Exodus 33, but it's quoted again in Romans 9:15 that he quoted. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I have compassion.
Wow.
I believe God's a loving God, and I believe he offers mercy to everybody. But ultimately, if God didn't want to, he'd still be just.
Right. Wow. I know there's a lot of people that probably disagree with you, but you know what? I don't.
Yeah. Well, I think it's reality. Right. I mean, I think God's supremely loving. I think God is love, and God offers mercy to every single person. But I also believe that we have sinned and offended God, and we have rejected God. And if God, as the judge of our actions, wanted to execute judgment, he would be just in doing so.
Amen.
But he's merciful, so he wants no one to perish, but he wants all of us to come to repentance. So that's why he offers it.
Right. All right. There is evidence inside the Bible itself that much of the Old Testament was not written until the time of Josiah.
What?
2 Kings 22:8+, in which the book of the law was conveniently found, in finger quotes, in the temple, and contained some laws that apparently nobody had ever heard of before.
Right. Right. Wow. This is interesting. There is record here in 2 Kings about a king who, we just found the book of the law.
Right.
Now, this doesn't mean that the Old Testament wasn't written until after Josiah the king, when they found the book of the law. Mm. What it means is that the book of the law was written before him and they found it.
Right. It is what it said it is.
I don't understand.
What is that, credibility?
Yeah.
A little bit, maybe?
So that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
It says, well, they didn't even find it till after Josiah. So, see, it wasn't written until after Josiah. Well, maybe they found it after Josiah because they wrote it before Josiah. Right. Now, it is in 2 Kings. 2 Kings is recording the time that happened from Josiah and earlier. And they are writing the history down. They found the books of the law. So they lost the books of the law. There's no reason to believe that they lost all of their history.
Right.
Which is two different subjects.
Wow.
So, anyway, thanks for listening in today.
It's kind of a crazy question to end on.
He just, well, that's the end. There's nothing else.
Right.
But, yeah, this has been really good stuff. We had another listener question, which we didn't get to today. Hopefully we'll get to next week. But thanks for listening, guys. Love having you. Come on out to Truth to Revolution Church Sunday mornings 9 or 11. You can also watch online.
There you go.
So go to truthrevolution.tv and check it out.